All right, our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 12 through 17. Again, 2 Corinthians 2, 12 through 17. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as a commission by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Amen.
That I have attended. I have seen many people and things go past me along the parade route. There are fire trucks and police trucks. There are marching bands. There are dancers. There are Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts making an appearance. And the color guard usually goes by holding up the American flag. And then there is my favorite part of the parade. And that is where all of the people in the different vehicles in the parade throw candy at us in the crowd. I am always hoping that someone will throw chocolate at me. After all, you can't have a real celebration without chocolate, can you? At the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes about a victory parade that was common in the days of the Roman Empire. It was the parade that was held in Rome whenever a conquering general returned to Rome after a military victory. Paul wants to compare for us the victory that Jesus has won over sin and Satan and death with the victory that a Roman general would win in battle. And Paul wants us, all of us, to join the parade that Jesus leads for us in his church. In order to help you to understand the Jesus parade, I want to explain quickly these seven elements in a Roman military parade. First, artists would start the parade with pictures of the great battle and signs listing the names of the various cities that were conquered. With the artist would come also some of the plundered riches of the enemy. And so they would see all of the loot that the army won. Second, there would be bulls in the parade who would eventually be sacrificed to the supreme god of Rome, Jupiter. The third part of the parade would be the conquered peoples who would march in the parade, marching in chains. Often the leaders of these conquered peoples would be taken to the temple of Jupiter, and they would be executed at the end of the parade. The fourth part of the parade would be people who are carrying incense, sweet-smelling smoke that would rise up to heaven. Fifth, the conquering general would come in the parade as kind of the grand marshal of the parade. Sixth would be the marching happy Romans who had been rescued from the barbarians because of this general's work. And then seventh would march all of the general's troops. So I'd like for us today to look at two parts in the Jesus parade where we as the church are to march today so that we can celebrate Christ's victory properly. First of all, in the Jesus parade, we spread the fragrance of Jesus and the gospel. We are the ones carrying the incense who spread the sweetness of Jesus to the world. Now, the last part of 2 Corinthians 2 looks more like a defeat than a victory. Verse 12 describes some good news. Paul had come to Troas from Ephesus in order to preach the good news about Jesus. Jesus had opened the door wide in the city so that many people were coming to faith in Christ. That is good news. But verse 13 brings bad news. Paul did not stay long in this city where his evangelism work was so effective. Why didn't Paul stay when the church was growing? Because Paul says in verse 13, I did not find my brother Titus there. And so Paul's spirit was not at rest in Troas. Paul had sent Titus to the church in Corinth with a rather severe letter for the church. The church needed to discipline one of its members, but the church was reluctant to do so. Paul then sent his letter along with Titus, and he had arranged to meet with Titus later in Troas for news about how his letter to Corinth had been received. Had the church obeyed Paul, and had they dealt with this man's sin? Or had the church defied Paul and allowed the Holy Church of Jesus to be stained by continued sin? Remember, there's no phones at this time. There's no texting, no emails. And so Paul had no news, zero, about what was going on in Corinth. And when Paul didn't find Titus to get the news while he was waiting for him in Troas, he was so distracted and anxious about the lack of news that he decided, I'm going to have to leave this growing ministry in Troas and I'll go back to Greece. I'll go to the northern part of Greece in Macedonia. Now, this sounds like a defeat for the church, doesn't it? The church in Corinth was not properly addressing a member that was sinning. It was losing its testimony for Jesus. And what was going on in Troas? The church at Troas had lost its evangelistic momentum because Paul was distracted by all the sin at the church in Corinth. And yet, how does Paul respond to all of this in verse 14? Is Paul depressed by this bad news? No. He thanks God for the Jesus parade that he calls a triumphal procession in Christ. He says in verse 14, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. So yes, the church might suffer a few losses, but the Jesus parade, it marches on in victory, always. And who is the leader of this parade? Jesus. Jesus is still winning, even when it looks like the church is losing in some way. He is leading us and the church in triumphal procession in his victory parade. So let me make two quick points of application here. First, even if your particular church is going through some defeats and struggles, that does not mean doom and gloom for the church as a whole around the world or for Jesus, our leader. It does not mean that. More people are joining the Jesus parade every day around the world. We just heard news this morning of 18 children joining the Jesus parade this week. Is that good news? Is it worth celebrating? It is. And so even if your church is struggling, that doesn't mean that we should just throw up our hands and give in to despair. The church is still advancing. Jesus' victory party is still marching on. So keep going. Don't give up because of a few defeats along the way for the church. And a second application from this passage in 2 Corinthians 2. Your sin can be a major distraction to the church. Who knows how many people did not hear the gospel at Troas because Paul was so distracted by all the sin going on at the church in Corinth. He was too distracted to keep preaching there at Troas, so he had to leave. Sin distracts the church from its mission. What is our mission? To make disciples of Jesus, to make more followers of Jesus. Sin then slows up the progress of the Jesus parade. And so when you sin as a member of Christ's church, repent quickly. Don't stay hardened in your sin. Turn from that sin so that the Jesus victory parade can keep growing and going. One part of that victory parade that we see here in chapter 2, again, is people carrying in the parade sweet-smelling incense that goes all the way up to heaven. This is our job in the church today. We read in verse 14 that through us in the church, Jesus spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Everywhere we go as Christians, we carry the fragrance of Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thought? We carry the sweet smell of Jesus wherever we go. Through our words and through our lives, we offer up before people the fragrance of Jesus. And so when people hear through us that Jesus died on the cross to forgive them of their sins because God so loved the world, how sweet is that? What a sweet message that we carry. What a loving God that we have. Paul's words in verse 15 that we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, that refers to the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. When the priest offered up a sacrifice there on the altar, God would find that sacrifice a sweet-smelling aroma in his nose. When he smelled the sacrifice, the stench of sin would be removed from God's nose. And instead, the sweet smell of the sacrifice would give to God great joy in knowing that sin had been atoned for. So what happens when we as Christians in the Jesus parade, what happens when we live sacrificial lives for God and for his purposes? We become the sweet fragrance of Jesus, through which the knowledge of Jesus who sacrificed himself for us is made known in the world. People smell the fragrance of Jesus on us when we act as living sacrifices. And people also smell the fragrance of Jesus on us when we teach the gospel and teach the Bible accurately. In verse 17, we see that there were some people in Corinth who were not teaching the gospel correctly. They were not teaching the Bible accurately. What are they called in verse 17? These people who had infiltrated the Corinthian church. They are called peddlers of God's word. These people are treating the Bible and the message of the good news about Jesus as one more product to be sold in the market for a profit. So if all that you're thinking about is making money from the gospel about Jesus, the temptation is going to be huge for you to water down the parts of the message that people will not like in your culture. If you don't water down the message, then people won't buy what you're selling. And so the Corinthian salesmen in the church, they watered down the true message of the gospel about human weakness in this world. The gospel teaches that we are weak human beings who suffer in this world of sin. But it is through our weakness that God's strength is seen in this world. We are weak clay pots that easily break. But God's power is revealed as he gives strength to such weak creatures as us. Now, this was not at all the message that the Corinthian salesmen preached. They preached that because we are connected to God through Jesus Christ, we are always strong, always successful, and always powerful. We Christians then should not suffer like that guy Paul was suffering. In some ways, then, the Corinthians preached a popular message, which we call today the prosperity gospel. What is the prosperity gospel? God wants you rich. He wants you rich, not just financially, but God wants you to prosper in every way in your life. He wants you to prosper as well in your health and in all of your relationships. God wants you prosperous in every way because you are a child of the King. Now, is that a popular message in the church today? Has that message spread throughout the world in the church? Yes, it has. Does that message sell? Absolutely. God wants me rich. Give me some of that. I want that. But as you look at the Bible, and as you look at the teaching of Jesus and of Paul, is the prosperity gospel true? No. It leaves out many parts of the Bible's teaching. It leaves out the part of the Bible that says that suffering is a part of our lives right now. It is. It leaves out the fact that we are to sacrifice. We as Christians are to take up our cross every single day. This prosperity gospel also leaves out the fact that we are to die to ourselves every day as we live for God and we live for others. And it also leaves out the fact that God's strength is mostly seen in this world through our weakness, not through our prosperity and success. The prosperity gospel, I would also say, it destroys people's faith. Because when people who have been sold the prosperity gospel, when they suffer, and they most definitely will suffer, what will they conclude? They will conclude, I must not be a Christian to be suffering like this. I should only be prospering according to my prosperity gospel teachers. But I want you to think about the Jesus that we are following. Less than a week before Jesus died on the cross, we read in John chapter 12 that Jesus was anointed with some extremely expensive perfume by Lazarus's sister Mary. As the people in the house breathed in that expensive perfume on Jesus, they would later remember that Jesus himself was about to become a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God on the cross. And it wasn't just Jesus who smelled sweet that day. Mary did also. Mary had sacrificed a huge amount of money in order to pour this perfume on Jesus. So, church, here is the question I have for you today that is important for you to answer. Can people smell the sweetness of Jesus on me? Can they smell Jesus on me? Can they smell his sacrificial love on you like they smelled it on Jesus and on Mary? This is your part in the Jesus parade. You are to bring the incense before people of the sweet smell of Jesus Christ. You are to offer up incense so that people can smell the sweetness of Jesus and his sacrifice on you. So one part that you play in the Jesus parade is that you offer up the incense to God. And another part in the Jesus parade that you play is that we are led by Jesus as his conquered captives. We have already seen in 2 Corinthians 2 that Jesus is the conquering general in the Jesus parade. Jesus has defeated sin, death, and Satan. This is a victory worth celebrating with a parade in Jesus' honor. And we have also seen that we Christians are to offer incense in this parade, the sweet smell of our sacrificial lives and of our words about the Jesus who has sacrificed himself for us on the cross. But there is another role in this parade that we are to play. Now, you might think it would be perhaps the last part in the parade, as Jesus' troops, maybe, who win the battle with him. Maybe that's our part, too. I would say, you know, that's a possibility. But I'd like to suggest to you something that might sound crazy at first. Okay, so hear me out. This is going to sound crazy, but I think one part of the Jesus parade is the part where captives are led in chains. And that's our part, too. In Rome, some prominent captives would be led to their deaths at the end of the parade. That's what happened in these Roman parades. The Romans not only liked their parades, they also liked to see blood and death, as we know from the gladiator games. So my question for you today is it possible that we Christians are the captives who are being led in chains to our deaths as the conquered peoples in the Jesus parade? Before you say no, listen to me, okay? Before we became Christians, what were we? Sinners, enemies of God. That's what we were. We were enemies of God in our sin. But now we have been captured and we have been conquered by Jesus. We are being led today to take up the cross ourselves in death, in a parade that reveals the majesty and the power of God through our weakness. Jesus does not make us in the church winners in the way that the world defines winners. Instead, Jesus captures us and he leads us in humility and in weakness. We win, yes. How? By losing to Jesus. Victory comes in defeat, glory in humiliation, and joy in suffering. Now, before you call me crazy, I want you to think about what Jesus taught to all of his disciples in Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. Let's read together. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So as we follow Jesus in the Jesus parade, what are we carrying? What's on our backs? A cross. We are carrying the cross of self-denial as we follow Jesus in the Jesus parade. Every Christian in the Jesus parade follows Jesus to the cross. We follow Jesus then to our death. The Christian life is nothing less than dying to ourselves every day in order that people might see the resurrection life of Jesus in us. We have died to our old selves. We have died to our selfish way of life. And we have been raised up with Christ to a new way of life in which we sacrifice ourselves for God and for others. So Jesus then has triumphed not only over our sin and over death and over Satan, Jesus has also triumphed over us in his death. He has captivated us with his sacrificial love and grace. And our hearts have been captured by such a loving Savior. We love Jesus, and we would do anything for him. We would even die with him every day so that people can see and smell the beauty of his sacrificial love. I think this is the point that Paul is making about his own part in the Jesus parade. Let's look at what Paul wrote from 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. So what was Paul saying was his part in the Jesus parade? He was one of the chained captives who was being led to his death. Paul does not suffer then by accident as an apostle. Paul suffers by God's plan and God's design. Paul is a conquered captive of Jesus, being led to death. Paul is saying to those Corinthian super apostles who had infiltrated the church and were selling a false gospel of power and success and prosperity, Paul was saying, it's not despite my suffering as an apostle, but it is precisely through my suffering that God is spreading the beautiful fragrance of the knowledge of him. It is through Paul's weakness and his daily dying that the strength and the salvation of God are experienced and made known. So Paul thanks God in verse 14 that he is part of the Jesus parade where captives are being led in chains by Jesus. Paul is not powerful in himself. He is no superhero apostle. Christ's power is only present in the weakness of an apostle like Paul being led in chains. When people smell the daily fragrance of Paul's dying for himself, dying for us in weakness for Jesus' sake, they're going to smell something beautiful in Paul's sacrifice. There is beauty in being a conquered captive of Jesus. But the fragrance of Jesus has different effects on different people. Listen again to verses 15 and 16. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. In my early days as a husband, I made a big mistake with my wife. She had gone out and she had bought this expensive perfume. She bought it in order to please me. And when she put it on, she asked me how I liked it. And I said something really stupid. I said that the perfume smells like this product that I brought a picture of this morning. I said that the perfume smells a whole lot like Vicks Vapor Rub. Now, not surprisingly, my wife never wore that perfume again. She gave it away to someone whose husband would actually appreciate the smell of an expensive perfume, rather than thinking that it smells like something you wear when you have a terrible cold. Now, interestingly, there are many people in this world who cannot smell the sweet perfume of Jesus when you talk about him. Those people don't smell the sweet perfume of life in Jesus. Instead, all that they smell is the stench of sickness and death whenever you talk about Jesus. That's what they smell. You see, the message of Jesus is a message of both salvation and judgment. If we turn away from sin and we trust that Christ died on the cross for our sins, we are saved from God's judgment. We smell the sweet perfume of victory over sin, death, and Satan on Jesus. But if we resist Jesus and the gospel, all that is left for us is judgment. Jesus will smell like the ugly smell of death to us if we reject him. So what will you do with Jesus? That's the question for you today. What will you do with him? You cannot be neutral about Jesus. You cannot be Switzerland when it comes to Jesus. I would urge you today to come to faith in Jesus. Open your eyes today to your true spiritual condition. See what your sin has done. Your sin has separated you from the holy God. It was your sin and my sin that caused Jesus to die on the cross. Why did Jesus die? Because nothing less than the death of Jesus could reconcile you to the holy God. That's the only way it could work for you to be reconciled to God. If you believe this good news that Jesus died for you, this message is the sweetest smelling message in the world. It smells like life and beauty. But for some people, the message that we need to turn away from our sins and turn to Christ, that message smells like death. They cannot imagine leaving behind those sins that they love. Nor can they imagine that Jesus would actually judge them for those sins. So Jesus and his gospel, it smells like death to such people. Church, if you love Jesus, you carry an aroma with you. To some people, you smell like sweet perfume, which will lead them to life in Jesus Christ. And to some people, the aroma of Jesus that you carry will smell like a dead and decaying body, which will lead them to perish and suffer God's judgment. There are only two possible endings for everyone in this world: salvation or perishing. Your job as a Christian in the Jesus Victory Parade is to be the sweet-smelling aroma of Jesus that goes with you everywhere. As you live a sacrificial life like Jesus lived, as you tell others that Jesus died for their sins, people are going to respond to the aroma of Jesus on you. They will. Some will respond by being saved, and some will respond by perishing. You cannot control their response. All that you can do as a Christian is be the aroma. Be the aroma of Jesus as those who have been captivated and captured by the love of Jesus, your Savior. One of my favorite songs that we sing here at Hope is "You've Already Won." We remind ourselves in this song that Jesus has already won the battle over sin, death, and Satan. Jesus won this battle at the cross and in his resurrection. But even though Jesus has already won, we as Jesus followers, we are fighting the same battle that Jesus fought against sin, death, and Satan. And the battle is hard. Life is hard. We often struggle in this battle. And sometimes we don't know what God is doing by leading us into such hard battles. But you know what we do know? Jesus won. He won the victory. And right now, we today are also marching in the Jesus Victory Parade. And we know how this parade ends. It ends with us being with Jesus together forever in heaven. We will celebrate that victory. So don't give up. Don't feel like a failure because you're constantly fighting battles and not living the life of a so-called superhero Christian. Jesus has won. And because you are following Jesus, you are going to win too. Join the parade. Take up your cross daily. Live a sacrificial life. Speak of Christ's sacrifice for our sins. And you too will celebrate Christ's victory in the Jesus Victory Parade. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you today for the victory that you have won over sin and death and Satan. Thank you that that victory has already been accomplished. Lord, many of your people here today are fighting this battle on earth today, and it is a hard battle. It's hard to fight against so many things. And so I pray that you would bring strength and encouragement to your people today. Remind them that you have already won. And I pray that they would join you in your victory. May we all be the sweet-smelling incense of a life with Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.